On the show today, we have Members Trust Andrea Valdez Brandon talking about financial and estate planning best practices. You got to check this one out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Members Trust very own Andrea Valdez Brandon. Andrea, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm very happy to be here.
Good. Thanks for having me. Yeah, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us for a few minutes on financial and estate planning best practices, which kind of is, we're all kind of involved in this in some form or fashion. We're all affected by it in some form or fashion, whether it's family, friends, work, coworkers, that type of stuff. So what's the latest in financial and estate planning trends these days? What are you seeing out there?
So the wealth management industry is certainly changing. Technology is empowering members now more than ever.
Oh, yeah.
The millennial generation is growing and maturing financially. So the clients, the members of the future will inevitably have, different goals, different preferences, which mm-hmm. means business models are changing.
Right.
So from robo-advisors and the whole digital transformation to just shifting demographics are a lot of big changes on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the one that looms largest is demographics, the baby boomers, the great transfer that we've all heard and read about. But basically, it's all those baby boomers who are aging, and they are one of the biggest and the wealthiest generation in this country, and they're set to transfer some portion of $30 trillion to their Gen X and their millennial kids. And if studies are accurate, those kids, once they inherit, are going to promptly fire their advisors. So you've got that coming on. You've also got a financial planning industry that is booming because you've got these demographics, what's sometimes called the silver tsunami. You've got just rising stock wealth. You've got responsibility for retirement planning falling back on the individual. And so all that is serving to really grow the financial planning industry. And in fact, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the number of financial advisors in this country is set to grow by 15%.
Wow.
Until I think 2026,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot more than the average for other occupations. But even given this rapid growth, there seems to be consensus among industry leaders that in order to survive, financial advisors are going to need to provide more comprehensive service.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because investment management is being commoditized by robo-advisors.
Gotcha.
So it's all going to come down to value. What is the value my financial advisor is bringing to me?
Will there be like an oversaturation, I guess, because of this increase? And so therefore, if you're already in the industry, are you going to have to really differentiate yourself even more so?
That's what I think is going to happen. I think it's just going to be really increased competition. And so my advice would be, for given these very big changes, is that advisors should take a more holistic approach to financial advice. You know, your members, your clients, as you know, advisors rely on you to point out important issues, to highlight risks they might have overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And one such risk involves failing to have an estate plan and potentially hindering the smooth transfer
yeah.
of very hard-earned assets from one generation to the next.
Yep.
So there's no question that these people need your help. Like, statistics show that about 2/3 of Americans don't have any plan at all.
Wow.
And even those folks that do have some sort of plan, I would make an educated guess, have an outdated plan. And unfortunately, that's a common misconception.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I drafted my estate plan. They can just put it in a drawer somewhere and forget about it. But this is a document that's dynamic because it needs to match your changing circumstances. So you've got to blow the dust off that thing once in a while and make sure that, especially if, you know, it's been at least 5 years, or consider your life milestones, you know, like, were you married the last time and now you're not married anymore? Or have you had kids since you last drafted it? These things need to change as your life changes. And advisors are in the best position to help their member clients sort of realize the necessity of updating it, because they learn about their client's life milestones through their work. So I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And so the significance of this sounds pretty pretty important. The priority should be pretty high on the priority list, especially once your family's growing and you're approaching a retirement, all these type of things, like you said, the life's milestones. So, oh my gosh, yeah, I had no idea. Like what you said, 2/3 of folks out there may not even have a plan at all, and there's going to be $30 trillion transferred from one generation to the next. Are you kidding? Wow.
That's right.
Oh my goodness. So what are some best practices out there in order to get people started out there? Because, I mean, I think credit unions would be very interested in this as well, because they have financial advisors in their staffs as well. So this would be something important for them to hear.
So I do have best practices to share, one for advisors and then a couple for just members themselves.
Sure.
For advisors, I would say it's important to bridge the generational gap with your members. And so I would integrate estate planning and trust services into your practice so that you can bring those Gen X and millennial kids to the table to have these estate planning conversations now. Start building that relationship with them now. Let them see you at work. Let them see that you are trying to do right by their parents. And while there's certainly no guarantee, there's at least a greater likelihood that if they know who you are, they feel confident in your abilities, that they might stick with you once they inherit their parents' assets. The trick, quite frankly, is building the business model to support bridge building. And Members Trust Company, we specialize in helping credit unions and advisors to do that by generating awareness about the importance of estate planning, importance of trust services through advisor training, through seminars, webinars. I'm available for in-person or Skype calls with members, and then of course actually providing the trust administration services as well. So I think that's one important best practice to consider when it comes to advisors. However, when it comes to members, I have my own sort of best practices to share. Number one would be set up a plan for incapacity, like a contingency plan for incapacity, because the problem with drafting just a will is that it doesn't come into effect. It has zero power until you die.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, as we age, our health declines, right? And we become more vulnerable to disease.
Sure.
In fact, according to the Alzheimer's Association, there's an estimated 5.7 million Americans in this country who are suffering from Alzheimer's. And almost 2/3 of those folks are women, presumably because we live longer.
Yeah.
So it's something to consider. Number of diagnoses, I think, is like every 65 seconds someone's diagnosed. And then as this demographic keeps aging and aging, it's going to become every 33 seconds. Now, the issue with that is that you can handle your own affairs. Let's say you've got mental. What happens is proceeding in the court. Here in California, it's the court's decision now to decide. At this point, you're incapacitated. But you, by planning, specifically with the revocable living trust, you name whoever you trust to be your backup trustee, your successor trustee, who then gets to step into your shoes, not just when you die, but when you become incapacitated. So they can manage your trust assets, they can write checks on trust accounts, making sure that your mortgage is paid, your kids' tuition is paid, basically the lights on at home while you're incapacitated. So make a contingency plan for incapacity. That would be one piece of advice.
Okay.
Members themselves. And one more would be to thoughtfully select your trustee, this backup trustee. And the reason why I bring this up is because I feel like it often gets overlooked. I feel like people draft their estate plan and think they've done the hard work, but the truth is no, your plan is only as good as the person or the entity that you have entrusted with its execution.
Yep.
So you've got three options, basically. You can select a loved one, can select an institution like Members Trust Company, or you can maybe select best of both worlds and do both.
Mm-hmm.
One, an institution and a co-trustee that is a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to a loved one, some things to consider is, let's say you've passed away, do you want to have your loved one, who should probably be focused on grieving your loss, do you want to burden them with the complexity involved with administering your estate? Because there is some complexity. Mm-hmm. You've got to corral all the assets. You've got to get them appraised. You've got to notify creditors that this person has died, pay off any remaining debts, file last tax returns, make trust accounting. So it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. To put that burden on your loved one, when they are already sort of not in their right mind.
It's an emotional time.
Yeah. Studies show that grief affects your cognitive ability. Mm-hmm. So will they have the emotional wherewithal? Something else to consider is, are they good at managing money? Or if they're not, do they at least have a network of professionals who are good at managing money that mm-hmm. they can rely on? And another one is, do they have the bandwidth and the inclination to serve, because they don't have to, and they could change their mind even. So a lot of folks are sort of surprised to learn that, but you don't really know where your loved one is going to be in their own life when you pass away. They could be going through terminal illness or a divorce, mm-hmm. or just, you know, have had their third, fourth, fifth child. They may have their hands full, right? Like, they may not want to take on that responsibility. Sure. Like I said, it's a lot of work. So just keep that in mind.
Okay.
When it comes to an institution, the benefit of naming an institution like Members Trust Company is that you've got experts. So you've got a team of attorneys. You've got a team of CFAs, investment professionals. Mm-hmm. You've got regulatory oversight, because one issue with naming a loved one is that there's no one to sort of peer over their shoulder and make sure they're doing the right thing. And I'm not just talking about being shady, because it doesn't have to be that. I mean, it could just be like a good faith mistake.
Right.
So we have regulatory oversight, and we have working with an institution. And maybe the best of both worlds is both, you know? Mm-hmm. Something to take into consideration is family dynamics. Maybe you don't want to name, one child in charge of another child's inheritance because of the animosity that could create.
Correct.
So you could name an institution, and maybe just a co-trustee that is a loved one who can provide some input, but ultimately it's this sort of objective third party that is making these decisions, and that way hopefully you minimize family discord.
Good advice. The number that still sticks in my head, Andrea, is the two-thirds out there that don't have a plan. And that's just baffling and overwhelming to me. So what advice do you have for credit unions to kind of step up their efforts and to kind of promote this type of planning? I mean, why aren't people, is it just something out of sight, out of mind? Or what's going on here, and how can credit unions kind of ramp up this area?
So there is some inertia when it comes to this end-of-life planning. Nobody likes to contemplate their own demise.
True.
It's disturbing, right? I mean, unless you're type A like me and like to have all your ducks in a row, it's disturbing. You don't really want to do it, even though you know that you should. So I think members need to be nudged to do it, because they know they should do it. Mm-hmm. They may not know or think that their credit union can help them with this.
Correct.
So they may hear from their credit union that these trust services are available.
Yeah.
So I would tell them, my advice would be to call me. Call Members Trust Company.
Perfect.
What's unique about us is that, you know, we are the only national trust company that is owned and managed by credit unions. Mm-hmm. We specialize. We cater to credit unions. We are cut from the same cloth. We share the same member-centric and community-centric mm-hmm. values as credit unions. So let us help you meet the needs
right.
of your credit union members.
Yeah, because you can save yourself hours, days, months, years in court, you know, because you hear nightmare stories of family feuds and all this type of stuff going on when things aren't planned out properly. And then all of a sudden the courts get into it and lawyers get into it, and it's just a big old hunkin' mess. So I think planning, being proactive, is the best thing to do here. So I think if credit unions kind of position it like that, I think they can get some momentum from a lot of their members going, especially when there's this much money at stake. My gosh, $30 trillion.
There are also a lot of expenses to consider that you can't avoid if you plan ahead with a revocable living trust. Here in California, you've got probate expenses, and those are a percentage of gross fair market value of the probate estate upon death. Gross. So that means if you have $1 million home and an $800,000 mortgage, that is 4% of $1 million and not 4% of your $200,000 in equity.
Yeah.
And you can take that 4% and multiply it by 2 if your personal representative or your executor has hired an attorney, which they often do because mm-hmm. they're equal. So now it's 8% of $1 million instead of 4%. Mm-hmm. So it's easily avoided with planning ahead.
Totally, totally. Great lesson. Anything else to add here, Andrea? Because this is a topic that we could talk about probably for another half hour at least. But anything else to kind of wrap up here to kind of put a nice bow on this one?
So I would say that my message to credit unions is that, you know, demographics are what they are, and your baby boomer members are going to go somewhere to meet their trust services needs. So it might as well be their local and trusted credit union.
Yep. Indeed. Great message to end on. Andrea, thank you so much. And before I let you go, where can we find you at Members Trust? Is it memberstrust.com or what's the website?
It is memberstrust.com. You can reach me via email at Andrea, that's A-N-D-R-E-A, .Brandon@memberstrust.com.
Excellent. Great stuff. Great stuff indeed. Andrea, thank you so much for your time as always. And maybe we'll check in down the road and talk about some other trends that we need to know about.
Sounds good.
All
thank
right.
you.
You're welcome.